So I know you've come here about what else comes next. We have two items that were, well, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, the BIF, and of course the reconciliation. I just told members of my leadership that the reconciliation bill was a culmination of my service in Congress, because it was about the children, the children, the children, the children. Their health, it's about health, their education, the economic security of their families, a clean, safe environment in which they could thrive, and I guess a world at peace in which they could succeed. This is more about the domestic first poor parts of that. So remove all doubt in anyone's mind that we will not have a reconciliation. We will have a reconciliation bill.
Welcome to the radio program, DanaLash.com. That was Nancy Pelosi. And they're having some big battles today. I don't know if it's going to pass, because I just don't. It's a stupid, ridiculous bill, and it really shouldn't pass, but I will get into all of it. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of it. If you want to listen to boring-ass commentary about it, there's a bunch of old people that are on the airwaves. You can go listen to them. We're going to talk about it, 30,000-foot view, and I'm just going to let you know what you need to know and what you want to know, and that's about it. I'm not going to sit here and flip around all day over what someone does with the procedural vote, because it's boring. So, a lot of stuff to discuss, including, apparently, I made a bunch of woke people mad on the social media.
That's so unlike you.
So unlike me. I'm making friends, you know me. Made a bunch of people angry because I don't allow the patriarchy to commandeer my language. So, we could sit here and talk about all the particulars, the Hyde Amendment. It's garbage, and the whole damn thing should burn in hell. How about that? No, and a reminder, I'm not Dora the Explorer, and if you're outsourcing the care of your children to me today while I'm on the radio, you're an irresponsible parent. But it is. I mean, you're raising taxes, you're weaponizing the IRS. This isn't anything about infrastructure. It is not at all. It's not. It's insane. And I'm glad that Manchin's standing up to it. He says the reconciliation has to include the Hyde Amendment. I'm just, the whole thing, honestly, I'm not going to sit here and debate and go over what parts are okay and what parts aren't, because the whole thing's trash. If it's not Article 1, Section 8, it's trash. The end. Why are we messing around with this? We went to war for less during the days of when the British were here. So we're going to get into all of that and more. Also, big thing, I've written about this a lot. I've written about it. I've talked about it. We've discussed it on the program. We talked about it on the newsletter. You know, six different ways to Sunday. The CDC wants to go after firearms. We're going to talk about that, because they want to do to the Second Amendment what they were trying to do to the eviction moratorium. We're going to discuss that. But ultimately, it's the new revolution. I've said this to you before, right? We've talked about it over and over again. YouTube is banning accounts that have what they consider vaccine misinformation. And they say that if you make the claim that the vaccine doesn't actually stop transmission, that that's considered disinformation, which means the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, wouldn't even be able to have a video up, because she has said that very thing, direct quote. We're going to get into all of that as well. The fake science. Black Lives Matter says we need George Floyd style protests against vaccine mandates. And I actually don't disagree with them. I'm ready to go to the street. Who's with me? I mean, I'm done. I think a lot of people, I have to tell you, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine a little earlier today, and they were saying that they were shocked. They had moved to middle America from California, and they were actually really shocked at, there were a lot of Republicans that just seemed completely not aware of stuff that was happening. And they thought it was, you know, they thought it was crazy. There are people who don't want to be inconvenienced. There are people who don't want to feel like they have to give up their little luxuries in life, and they feel like they don't want to lose their standing in their community or in their church or in their friend group or whatever. And for those kind of people, if they had been around during the days of the revolution, the first revolution, we'd all have the queen on our currency. Because if that's the idea, that you're somehow guaranteed happiness as opposed to the pursuit of it, is a point that's lost on a lot of people on the right and the left. But there are a lot of people who think that they sit on their duffs and they don't do anything because they like to outsource their activism while pretending that they're for limited government. But they're not, though. They're still outsourcing their civic duty, which is that's technically big government. You're expanding another's authority over you because you're outsourcing your civic responsibility. Plain and simple. I don't buy the thing that I don't have time. I don't buy that. I don't buy that from anyone. I think it's an excuse from people who are lazy. I don't buy it. So I and Republicans, while we're fighting now, while people on the right are fighting now, for so long, like, can I just say, somebody emailed me and like, are you going to mention the Liz Cheney thing? Why the hell would I mention that? Are you mental? Why do I care? Someone who's chasing clout, getting into a fight with the Republican Party while the world burns. Why don't she's rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Why would I care about that? Why would I spend an hour or any more than 60 seconds of my time weighing in on something so insipid as another Republican clout chasing? The mere suggestion of it makes me want to slap the person who asked me. Taking all comers today. So we're going to talk about that. Steny Hoyer said he's not confident that the Better Business Plan is going to pass if voted on today. Good. I don't care. Crash and burn. We also will discuss some of the biggest lies so far. Just this week, we're going to get into that, including the lie that the red states have the highest hospitalization rates. Did you know that Florida is ranked 41st in the nation for as it relates to hospitalization rates? Did you know that?
We only have 50 states, right?
44, yeah. Okay. That's kind of low on the list, isn't it, Kane? Yeah. 41st out of 50?
It's down there.
Yeah, so like if that was like what's the prettiest state? And if it was 41st on the list, that wouldn't be too good a ranking, would it?
It'd be an ugly state.
Yeah, it'd be an ugly state. It would. So if it's 41st on the ranking of hospitalizations, that must mean that the hospitalizations aren't that high, huh? Yeah, kind of crazy. Why is it that the media is not talking about it? Oh, because they want, but my red states. That's what they want. They want to be able to complain about red states. Yeah, we're going to see what happens when you all got to kick your heaters on and you're too cold to sit outside. We're going to see what happens to those, to the contraction rate, et cetera, as the temperatures shift. Because apparently the people who are like, I love science, they don't pay attention to any of that. Oh, my gosh. Honestly, I mean, I'm not joking. If the big asteroid was coming, I would go out and be like one of those people that pick you up at the airport with a sign with its name on it and just stand atop of the highest point on Earth. Just wait for it. We deserve no less. All right, so we're going to get into all that. I got Charles Payne is going to be joining me later on about the inflation and the debt ceiling. I heard one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life. Chris Hayes says, I'd argue that, you know, not only is debt not bad, it's actually, you know, affirmatively good in certain current circumstances. What? I know. Do you want somebody like that running your money?
No.
No? We'll also discuss who's going to save the earth from the environmentalists. Mm-hmm. Ooh, in China. Just in the past 24 hours, I'll give you a quick rundown of all the freedoms that have disappeared in Hong Kong. Some of it's going to sound eerily familiar, huh? And also, it's not a cult. The stands, the Fauci stands, the COVID stands, yeah, they exist. We're going to talk about how ridiculous people are, like how Stanford conducted a study, and out of the study they witnessed that students feel would definitely wear a mask on their bicycle way more than they would a helmet. Yeah, that happened. We're going to discuss that, and we're going to talk about how it's not about the science. In New York, they're replacing nurses who won't get vaccinated with National Guard members who are excluded from the vax mandate. But tell me again that it's about the virus. Go ahead. I'll sit here and wait and roll my eyes at you. Go ahead. It's all right. So we got a lot. We got I forgot. We got Senator Marsha Blackburn, who completely just rhetorically gutted Mark Milley yesterday. It was fun to watch. I kept rewinding it back to that one minute and 23 second part, and I kept listening to it. I listened to it like 4 or 5 times because it was good. Sometimes people really need to get told, and when they get told, it's so immensely satisfying that you have to play it back again. It's something that's unbelievable. So we're going to get into all of that, and also about how I made all of the people who think that women don't get pregnant and that it's pregnant people and not women, I made all of them mad, and I'm just telling you, for people who think that they're going to somehow hurt my feelings by coming at me, do you realize that I'm a troll? You realize this, right? Like, you know this, right? We are all aware. I love picking a fight. I'm part Irish, so it comes naturally. I do it in the most legal way I know how. So I feel like an energy vampire. So if you watch what we do in the shadows, which is hysterical, there's the movie and then there's the TV show. And Taika Waititi does both of them. He also did a Mandalorian, which I'm not watching. the Disney thing anymore after what they did with Gina Carano, and because Disney's ruining everything. Ruining everything. They're Mickey Mouse ears and everything, and I can't stand it. So this there's one scene, one of the characters in What We Do in the Shadows, and it's about a documentary, office space style about these vampires. And in one of them, they have a guy named Colin Robinson. Oh man, he's an energy vampire. And one of the scenes, he sits online and he goes on social media and he trolls people and then he feeds off all their energy. So before you think about coming at me, just realize that's how I operate. I literally live off your life force when you try to come at me anytime, either in person or online. I can't help it. It's how I'm made. I was born this way. I cannot help it. So just to let you know. Anyway, so we got a lot of stuff to unpack today, and we'll continue watching the slap fight. If you can click my monitor on up there, we'll continue watching the slap fight that's happening in D.C. Nancy Pelosi, I think she took immense effort to raise her eyebrows that high when she was trying to assure everyone that everything was okay and everything was on track. No one believes it. We don't believe you. We'll discuss all that and more. Whether you're brewing the perfect cup of coffee before heading to work or cracking open a can of 300 on your next backcountry mission, Black Rifle Coffee Company is here to fuel wherever life takes you. Black Rifle Coffee Company is a veteran-owned coffee company, and they serve premium coffee to people who love America. They develop explosive roast profiles and experiment with new roasting methods with mission focus to bring you the best coffee possible. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders by giving back with every purchase you make. This summer, Black Rifle Coffee Company invites you to enjoy your coffee, not just in the great taste of America's coffee, but also the places you drink it and the passion and adventure it fuels. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink cans and on-the-go packs. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your summer with America's coffee. Black Rifle Coffee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
I feel this. I feel this study. So there's apparently a new survey out that says deep and meaningful conversation, small talk. Deep and meaningful conversations with strangers are less awkward and more enjoyable than small talk. Duh. I hate small talk. I purposely go out of my way to avoid it. It's awful. It's the devil. Can't stand it. I don't care enough about to sit there and, oh, how's the weather? Psh, no, whatever. Just either have a conversation or don't. I hate the small. I love being validated by science and by surveys. I love it. All right. I only got to say this headline yesterday, but I need to come back to this because I want to understand how this happened. Some dude in Illinois woke up with a legit bat on his neck. Like, imagine you wake up in the morning and instead of Folgers in your cup, it's a bat on your neck, right? A man from Lake County, Illinois. He was bitten on the neck in mid-August. And then apparently he got rabies and it killed him. What in the world? He was in his 80s. And it took like over a month. But it was, he woke up with a bat on his neck. I got questions. You know, I've got a lot of questions about this. How does that happen? Number one, that's my first question. Best part of waking up, the bat on your neck. All right, so vitamin A nasal drops could help COVID patients recover their sense of smell. Isn't that interesting? Steve, you got yours back, but you know, just in the future, vitamin A, although you've got the natural, so now you probably have like really good immunity, but vitamin A nasal drops, they could help COVID patients recover their sense of smell. I don't know. All I know is vitamin A supposedly keeps the lining of the nose healthy. Too much can be harmful, so don't like, you know, snort it like a cokehead, but apparently it's like super. Why are you laughing at me? You know it's true. Let's see. U.S. hog herds are apparently, hog herds are declining. I just say this slowly. By the largest number in 22 years. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's because of all the partisanship over bacon. I don't know. They said that U.S. hog herds experienced the most significant drop in months, monthly drop in two decades, according to latest data from USDA. And they said that it's the hog herd development over the last year due to labor disruptions. Oh, plus high animal feed. Look at that. Now you're hurting the bacon. The U.S. is to exclude travelers who got the Russian vaccine and it went to 70 countries because they say it doesn't really work, which actually I'm not really totally surprised at. According to the story from the Washington Post, beginning in November, U.S. rules will exclude that Sputnik vaccine as being considered an acceptable vaccine, which is going to potentially impact millions of travelers because they could see, they were looking to see distribution of this to like 70 other countries, but this is going to greatly impact this. So they said that even I watched they have a link to Russian state media. Oh, the surprising success of Sputnik, except no. But this is, again, Russia's playing politics with science. So is the United States. They're doing it too. They're playing politics with science. It's FYI. Yeah, they're playing politics with everything, including gun stuff, which we're going to talk about here coming up that you're not going to want to miss. And additionally, the Joe Manchin says reconciliation is dead on arrival if it doesn't include that Hyde Amendment, which really doesn't seem controversial at all whatsoever. But they're saying that it's controversial. In the ongoing fight over the budget, Democrats are pushing forward in the reconciliation bill, creating a Medicaid-like program that lacks the Hyde Amendment, which is supposed to prevent us taxpayers from funding abortion on demand as birth control. But Joe Manchin's like, no, it's dead on arrival if it doesn't include this. People are so mad at him and Kristen Sinema, and I'm here for this. I'm here for this. I got my popcorn. Like, I'm here. So let's have this fight. And with that, the House looks like last night it looked like they were about to pull the infrastructure vote because of a stubborn stalemate. We'll see where they are at. We'll see where they're at today. We have Charles Payne coming up, and we're going to be talking to him about that here very shortly. So we got a lot to discuss, not only inflation and debt ceiling and all of that, but we're going to get into the new revolution that's taking place now. Are you aware? Stick with us. Hey there. We have a new sponsor that I am really excited about, Bonner Wines. If you enjoy wine as much as I do, then you need to try Extreme Altitude Malbec from Argentina. They make it up at these remote vineyards at 9,000 feet. These things are miles from civilization. And the result is this inky red wine. You stare into this thing, and it's like looking at your soul. They're also healthier than the other wines, with 10 times more longevity-boosting resveratrol and 90% less sugar. Ladies, no dyes, no flavor additives. Pop open a bottle and you're going to get blackberry, leather, smoke, a little dark cherry. And the best part is that you're not paying these inflated prices that the traditional big box wine makes you pay. There is no middleman. So if you enjoy wine, if you'd like to taste wine as it truly should taste, visit conservativewines.com. And Dana Show listeners will get 50% off of the wine and 50% off of shipping. Just visit conservativewines.com.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
If Congress fails to raise our statutory debt limit by mid-October, what would the effect be to the economy?
It will be devastating to the economy. We'll be unable to pay our bills for the first time in American history. It could provoke a financial crisis and a recession, and it will harm every American.
Maybe you guys should all thought about that before you started engaging in some of this reckless spending in the first place. I mean, that's how the rest of America is supposed to, that's how we're supposed to deal with stuff, right? I mean, we're supposed to be responsible with our money. So we've been talking, welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. We've been discussing a little bit about this ongoing slap fight in D.C. with reconciliation, with the Build Back Better, I can't stand it, Build Back Better bill, which has all kinds of money for tree equity and all kinds of other stuff. Meanwhile, we are entering inflation. Oil prices are increasing. We're hearing about supply chain disruptions, cats, dogs living together, mass hysteria. Joining us now to make sense of all of it, my friend Charles Payne. He's host of Making Money with Charles Payne, weekdays 2 to 3 Eastern on Fox Business. And he joins us now. Charles, so good to talk with you, my friend. Give us some, make some sense out of all this for us. What do you expect to, So what's going to happen if, just say, the worst comes to pass, and all this insanity passes, all this big spending, how is this, I mean, what's this going to do to, this accelerates inflation more, right?
It does. That's the really crazy thing, right? One of the big pieces to this inflation puzzle is all the trillions of dollars in free money that was sloshed around in this country. Obviously, a year ago, or, last April, May, June, We shut down the economy completely. We never done anything like that. We told people you can't go to work. You cannot earn a living. Our government did this. So it was sort of reasonable, obviously, that we would spring into action. In fact, it ended up being because of that swiftness, the swift actions from the White House. Also, listen, it was bipartisan. We ended up with a recession that was just a couple of months long. This whole V-shaped recovery that we debated last year all the time, it really did exist. We came into this year on fire, gangbusters. We did not need another $1.9 trillion. We do not need another $3.5 trillion. All of this free money means that someone who's working really hard, they get up every morning, early in the morning, put on their boots, try not to wake their a spouse or whatever it is. They're competing. They're going to the supermarket and they're working. They're competing against someone who didn't wake up, didn't have to wake up. The amount of money that went out and the amount of abuse of these programs like the PPP, I tell you, Dana, wait for it. I really feel like taking a 6-month sabbatical from Fox Business just to work on a documentary on that alone. That has also been like we're talking tens, maybe hundreds of billions of dollars. All of this just stolen money, free money. It drives prices up. Then, of course, you layer that on top of the fact that President Biden declared war on fossil fuels. So what happens with any sort of thing, and it's particularly a commodity, the less of it you have, and the more demand you have, the higher the price goes. So instantaneously, last November, oil went through the roof. Gasoline prices are through the roof. It's just a never-ending saga. And now they want to really throw gasoline on this whole thing. It's already a crazy fire of craziness. They need to hit the pause button, pull it back a little bit, take a real calm look. But, let's be honest about what this really is, though. We talk about it as an economic topic, but it really isn't an economic topic per se. It's a topic about what America should be and look like. And essentially, the people behind this who believe in this sort of Build Back Better and the 3.5, which is really $5.5 trillion in spending, they believe that in some way America has peaked, that our greatness is gone. They're trying to divvy up the spoils. When President Biden says that this bill costs nothing, it does cost something. It's $5.5 trillion you're handing out. But essentially what he wants to say and what he won't come out and say directly is, no, we're going to confiscate wealth from individuals and corporations and redistribute it. So we're going to handicap those businesses and those individuals from being able to grow their businesses more. But everyone's going to be happy because we'll all have some cash and we'll live happily ever after. And it's a fairy tale. And it really smacks of a lack of respect and confidence in the American public.
Yeah, we're talking with our friend Charles Payne, who hosts Making Money with Charles Payne on Fox Business, breaking all this down for us. You have to steal from something else in order to satisfy this bill. The way that I understood it, Charles, and I know that this has been a topic, I think, a top topic, in especially with economic policy for the past, couple of decades. This idea that we're just going to tax the rich, and by taxing the rich, we'll be able to pay for everything that we want. But from what I understand, reading some of the tax package that was pushed to House Ways and Means Committee, they can leverage whatever taxes they want to on people, but that's not even going to come close to even satisfying a third of the bill for this actually, right, in reality, $5 trillion spending.
Right, right. I mean, it's just, if you were to confiscate all the money from the millionaires, billionaires, and of course, Biden brought up the trillionaires, you couldn't pay for this, right? People have picked up on things like the IRS being able to flag transactions in anybody's account for $600. I mean, the writing is on the wall. They're gonna raise like $60 billion taxing vaping and cigarettes. Everyone's gonna feel the tax. You're gonna feel it directly. You're gonna feel it indirectly from the high cost, or maybe you'll lose your job. Something is going to happen to every single person in this country, and it's gonna be negative. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna be painful. And it's going to be counter what we really are, the ethos of who we are as a nation.
Yeah, very much so. Talking with Charles Payne. I noticed, too, you were tweeting about James Bond. I love the James Bond movies. You were tweeting about James Bond because a lot of people have been saying, oh, my gosh, that AMC stock. Everybody's watching AMC stock. And is it actually really set to just launch? Is it going to explode? What would you think? What's the major contributor to that?
Well, here's the thing. It all boils down to management more than anything else, Dana. The CEO is going to have to make this thing work. I have been in this market so long, I have seen so many companies that Wall Street said were dead, that will never come back. In fact, if you would have bought Uggs back in April of last year, you'd be up 1,300%. Wall Street said it was dead, it would never come back. Wall Street said Best Buy was dead, would never come back. I mean, there are literally dozens and dozens of these companies. The most important factor, you know, as far as the people who have invested in them, really believe in it, and say they're going to be diamond hands, I always remind them, you know, diamonds don't just appear overnight, right? It's a long process with a lot of stress, a lot of you know, it's a process, and it's a heartening process. So people who believe in it, it's fine. But understand that ultimately it's got to come down to the CEO executing a game plan. Now, I do believe people are going to go back to the movies. Obviously, we know streaming is here to stay. It's obviously taken a big chunk out of movies. But I still think enough people will go to the movies as a viable business model. And then I think, Aaron, the CEO, again, has to be able to add different elements to that to take the stock higher. You know, it's really interesting because the shorts are enjoying a great week this week for them. Today, the worst performer in the market is Bed Bath & Beyond. This is a stock that's been all over, huh?
Yeah, wow. Bed Bath & Beyond, yeah.
It's getting hammered.
That's crazy that they're everybody needs those items. Why are they suffering?
Well, it's another company that lost its way. You know, I remember my wife used to love Bed Bath & Beyond. I would go with her. Then I went like about a year ago. It was horrible. The experience was horrible. The aisles were too small. It was unorganized. It was a disarray. Management, it was really awful, awful, awful. And that's one of the reasons the stock was falling completely apart. And most of these items were easy to order online. But here's the thing. You know, they got new management. They started to say, we're going to do the right thing. And investors took this stock. I remember I was in it last year. We sent out a sell signal to take profits on January 25th at 40. It went above 50. I felt a little dumb. Like, damn, I got a little bit too soon. All of a sudden, Wall Street started saying to buy this stock, right? But today it's $16, and now I'm feeling like Albert Einstein. But listen, same thing with brick and mortar, though. Amazon's going to open up a bunch of department stores. Why? Because it's not going to go completely away. And those companies with the right business models will do extraordinarily well.
There's something about the tangible quality of being able, that aspect of going into a store and being able to see something. And there's certain things that people just will not buy. They will not pay the amount for. They will not buy sight unseen. I mean, you know, at least in person. So there's absolutely something to that. Last quick question for you. Talking with our friend Charles Payne. You can obviously watch him on Fox Business, Making Money with Charles Payne. So I know that there's been a lot of discussion about, this is going to kick into Friday, and I was reading something about this. Actually, I was reading something about this week. Federal Reserve, the board announcing individual capital requirements for large banks. It kicks in this week. Why? Why is this a requirement?
You know, this is really, this is one of these things that came out of the financial crisis, 2009, and sort of like the banks took too much risk. And when the you-know-what hit the fan, they weren't prepared, so they had to be bailed out. So the idea is, well, if we make them eat their own home cooking and make them hold on to a bunch of money, if anything goes wrong, we don't have to bail them out. But it's a dumb way of thinking because we want banks to lend out as much money as possible. What they should be doing is just make sure they don't create these crappy products and sell them and foist them upon unsuspecting public. You don't need the crazy capital requirements. Hey, you know, who wants a bank is supposed to lend money. Right? That's what they do. In fact, on their balance sheet, the money they hold is a liability. It's not an asset. Lend the money out. When they lend it out, that's when it becomes an asset. So let the banks lend the money. And by the way, you're smart. The people at the SEC are smart. The people and all these agencies, they know the deal. When they start selling these crappy products and lie to the public, then you step in. You don't let it become a gigantic cloud that blows up and risk and, you know, and tilts our entire economy. So, you know, I just think that's one of these sort of things. You check the box, you know, the Elizabeth Warren box. Hey, we're going to get tough with these banks. Well, it's just going to make, all it's going to do is make, result in fewer loans being made.
Yeah. Well, to crazy times. And I feel like we're all just kind of, we're waiting to exhale a bit here. Just waiting to see what happens in D.C.
We need it, don't we?
Oh my gosh, I tell you what, Charles Payne, we're grateful for you, my friend. Weekdays, 2 to 3 Eastern on Fox Business, making money with Charles Payne. Charles, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for bringing sense into this. Take care.
See you.
We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this first hour. And one of the other things we're going to get into, we're watching not just everything that happens in D.C. as it relates to the fight over Build Back Better. I have with the bees, always with the bees. And the reconciliation, we're going to get into a lot of the vaccination stuff, as well as YouTube now shutting down any kind of comments that they say kind of questions or challenges the narrative. We'll get into that. Also, who's going to save the earth from the environmentalists? Wait until you hear this story.
Shooting down woke culture, one crazy headline at a time. It's the Dana Show.
I don't know if you guys saw the latest CDC edict, because now what they're saying is very important stuff. Now what they're telling everybody is that pregnant people will be able, they need to get vaccinated. That's what the CDC is saying, that pregnant people need to get the vaccine. So women, you're in the clear. You don't have to. It didn't say pregnant women. It said pregnant people. So I just would, yeah. Not women, though, I guess.
I love those hot takes where it's like, women are people. And it's like, well, then say woman, because mm-hmm. it's actually shorter.
Yeah. Men can't have babies. No. That's just how they're built. And I'm not going to have my language commandeered by sexist patriarchal stooges who don't want to actually follow the science. Now, I bring this up because this is supposed to be the agency that wants you to, they are supposed to be devoted to science. It said the CDC issues an urgent health advisory, strongly recommends COVID-19 vaccination for those for pregnant people, those recently pregnant or trying to become pregnant. Like, it's people. So just say, why do you have to erase women? What is, and how am I, I am not at all going to take any kind of lecture or direction from any kind of anti-science agency like this. I'm not going to. I'm not going to happen. These are the people who say, oh, well, you have to believe, follow the science. Well, they're not following the science. This is the thing. We're going to talk a little bit about this here coming up, because you're supposed to take them seriously as a bureaucratic agency that is devoted to science. But now, pregnant people, and this isn't the first time, or what was it? The chest feeding? Oh. They're called boobs. B-E-W-B-S, boobs. It's science. You okay?
I'm all right.
And the left is for so long, they love using the authority of these government agencies. It's an appeal to authority as a way to nullify like actual science and actual statistics. Like, for instance, where it comes to Second Amendment. This same agency, remember the CDC, it's all about science, but it says chest feeding and pregnant people, you know, that they're all about science, except not. They're all about politics, really. This is the agency that decided to involve itself in lease agreements between parties in the same state. This is the same agency that tried to make it to where you had to pay for someone else to live on your property. This is the same. Yeah. So now they want to step outside of disease control even more. And they want to use their federal authority to falsely present a medical need to restrict firearm ownership. And this is what the left does. They use these government agencies to neutralize the challenge that actual statistics presents to their narrative. And this is the ongoing bastardization of public health threat, right? The corrupt definition of public health threat. This has been used as a mechanism for all of these agencies to just collect more and more and more and more power while everyone else watches their rights disappear. So coming up next hour, I'm going to explain to you how this is garbage. And I'll explain to you about a little known amendment you're probably unaware of called the Dickey Amendment. NPR's state-funded media said that, oh, people have prevented the CDCs from studying quote-unquote gun violence. No, that's specifically not what the language of the Dickey Amendment says. And because these people have no idea what it says, and I do, I will read it. I'll read you that specific statement, that specific wording as it relates to that. So don't miss. Stick with us. We got a lot in store, including Senator Marsha Blackburn. Hey there. We have a new sponsor that I am really excited about, Bonner Wines. If you enjoy wine as much as I do, then you need to try Extreme Altitude Malbec from Argentina. They make it up at these remote vineyards at 9,000 feet. These things are miles from civilization. And the result is this inky red wine. You stare into this thing, and it's like looking at your soul. They're also healthier than the other wines, with 10 times more longevity-boosting resveratrol and 90% less sugar. Ladies, no dyes, no flavor additives. Pop open a bottle and you're going to get blackberry, leather, smoke, a little dark cherry. And the best part is that you're not paying these inflated prices that the traditional big box wine makes you pay. There is no middleman. So if you enjoy wine, if you'd like to taste wine as it truly should taste, visit conservativewines.com. And Dana Show listeners will get 50% off of the wine and 50% off of shipping. Just visit conservativewines.com.
I've never been a liberal in any way, shape, or the form. There's no one has ever thought I was. I've been governor, I've been state secretary of state, I've been state legislature, I've been a U.S. senator, and I have voted pretty consistently all my whole life. I don't fault any of them who believe that they are much more progressive and much more liberal. God bless them. And all they need to do is we have to elect more, I guess, for them to get theirs, elect more liberals.
That's Joe Manchin. He's not wrong. I mean, that's he's not wrong with this. Welcome back to the show, danalash.com. And you can go subscribe to the newsletter, danalash.com. Go up to where it says subscribe, and that takes you to the newsletter. It's with Slack, or not Slack, with Substack. And go and get some good stuff there. Also, don't forget, you have the Odyssey app that you can get take advantage of as well to listen to the show that you're already listening to. And every day from 12 to 3 Eastern, 11 to 2 Central. All right, so the latest with all this nonsense. I love how everyone's acting as though that Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, that they are a problem with the system. I've always said that this kind of gridlock is not a problem of the Senate. It's a feature of the Senate. I've said this for a decade. This is a feature. This is how it works. Democrats in the Senate, they hold 50 seats. They have to have every single one of those votes in order to achieve passing a bill through reconciliation. And if you have Kristen Sinema and you have Joe Manchin, if they do not agree with the other 48 senators, if they are not adopting every part and parcel of the policy, then that's how the system works. They're representing their constituency. They're representing their constituency. Goodness. It kind of does rest on all of them, but it doesn't at the same time, I think. I mean, these are people who they're not blocking anything. They're not. I mean, they're still Democrats. They're not caucusing over with Republicans. People are acting like that. Somehow decided to pledge fealty to Mitch McConnell or something. Here's the problem with the progressive ideology, though, and this is what Democrats can't escape. The United States is not one homogenous bloc. I mean, people are different. They vote differently. Just how it is. And the left is like that too, but Democrats do not want to practice that. So this is not a problem. It is with the system, it's a feature of the system. And so this I mean, this, and they're being consistent with their principles. I don't know. I don't know if this, I'm just looking at some of the latest with this. I'm not, some of the headlines and some of the remarks, because we're getting, as we get it, when we get new stuff that is appropriate, we'll play it for you. But it's going to be a fight. I don't know. They, I mean, right now they don't have that. They don't have the votes, apparently, according to Steny Hoyer, past the better. What is it? The better budget, boondoggle, build back, boodoober. What is it?
There it is.
The build boodoober plan. They had to make it simple so Joe could say it. Build back better. Jeez, they did. They had to make it simple so they could say it. All right, a couple other things to get into. The CDC, as we were talking about just before we went to break. This is not about science. It is not at all. So I don't know if you saw this, but the CDC director, and I have a piece that's going to be coming out about this here on Substack. The CDC director came out and said it's time to put, it's a pedal to the metal time to study, quote unquote, gun violence as a public health threat. I love the total politicization of this stuff. Gun violence is an epidemic that's been going, pro-2A people don't want any kind of studies of this. That's such a lie. That's a lie. And then NPR was noting that the CDC is implementing a new study. They want to implement a study on gun violence after labeling it a public health threat. And they want to, quote, craft swift interventions as they have done to contain the coronavirus pandemic and other national health emergencies. CDC, the D stands for stop it. It stands for diseases. Quit. Yes, it. I mean, I get you. It does also could also be that. I mean, according to their behavior. But this is not a disease. They have zero at all. They have zero authority to do any of this. So they keep talking about the Dickey Amendment. And, well, what they're referring to is the Dickey Amendment that that they apparently haven't read. Not quite sure why no one's read it. If you're going to cite it, maybe read it. So this was back in the 90s, and it was, there was this omnibus bill, and the Dickey Amendment was a provision that was, that was stuck in there, and it had to do with funding to NIH. And basically, what the Dickey Amendment did is say, is mandate that that any kind of, you know, like if the CDC is going to engage in, if they're going to carry out some kind of study, etc., they cannot advocate for or against gun control. So they're very specific. Cannot advocate for or against gun control. It's a refusal to politicize actual research. There is nothing banned in the at all whatsoever in the Dickey Amendment where it concerns stopping any kind of legitimate scientific and medical study. So this, I mean, even, I mean, goodness, even some of the most leftist outlets have to admit the obvious that it was never explicitly banned. They just said you cannot at all, you just can't politicize it. And you shouldn't want your federal, because this is our taxpayer dollars. You should not want your federal dollars to your government to allow propagandizing to be taxpayer funded. I mean, would people want, Would they be okay with a government bureaucratic agency pushing gun ownership? Think about it. If that's not okay with you, then why is the opposite all right? That's all it was. Is they just said you can't advocate for or against something. You just specifically deal with the science and the numbers, the fact. It's very easy. Very, very easy. But that's not how it's presented by the left. They lie about this constantly, which is unfortunate. Don't bother Googling it, because Google is so throttled. Have you noticed Google results lately? It's garbage. You can't Google anything. By the way, if you try Googling Fauci lied about masks, it won't bring it up. If you try Googling the Dickey Amendment, you get all this propaganda shoved at you first. That's what it is. This whole thing about the Dickey Amendment, the problem is that the CDC hasn't been studying it because they wanted to politicize it. And the CDC falsely, the people who are trying to tell you that the word women doesn't exist and that it's pregnant people and chest feeding, the same people who put up a list of 260-something child fatalities that they attributed to coronavirus, but then when the Wall Street Journal and Johns Hopkins went in and actually vetted every single one of those cases, they discovered that every single one of those cases had a serious terminal comorbidity and that was the reason. Like leukemia. Leukemia is a pretty serious thing. That was those... they had serious comorbidity, some of them terminal, that was the driver, not just the virus itself. And Wall Street Journal and Johns Hopkins slammed the CDC for their disingenuous presentation and fear mongering based on inflated and false fact or inflated and false numbers. So this is the same entity that now wants to lecture you about firearm ownership, and they expect you to trust them because they are a bureaucratic medical entity. But they haven't demonstrated that they deserve any trust. They've lied about everything. They lied about being banned from researching any of this. And by the way, I'll tell you right the heck now and save you the time and money. The problem with this isn't the existence of firearms. The problem with this is the number of repeat offenders who are in illegal possession of a firearm. Repeat offenders. That is what drives the homicide rate. It drives it in Philly. It drives it in Chicago. It drives it everywhere. I've seen every single one. I've written books on this. The data is there. It's not a health issue. It's an issue. Actually, there's a number of things that contribute to it. If CDC wants to actually look at the cause of some of this stuff, why don't you look into the health benefits of having a father in the family? Why don't you look at the benefits of having men support women when they're going to create families with them, and men and women being responsible for the recreation, the physical recreation in which they engage? How about you look at the health relations of that? How about you look at the family unit, and the family structure and support for children as a contribution to this? How about you look at the recidivism rate? How about you look at the fact that cities like that, where you have a lot of these homicide numbers that come from illegal possession of a firearm criminally used in a homicide? How about you look at some of these numbers and realize that the majority of these cases, all these people, in fact, in Chicago, and this was from the superintendent of the Chicago police itself, had said that it's the same 1,400 people that are committing over 86% of the city's overall crime. And it's been rising. It's because you have these judges that drop a lot of these charges. And cities like Chicago are at the bottom of the list. There's some of the cities at the bottom of the list where it concerns charges, felony charges for repeat offenders who are in illegal possession of an inanimate object while committing a felony. Why don't you look at some of those charges that are dismissed? This is garbage. They're using it as a mechanism to collect more and more power. CDC should be completely deconstructed and decommissioned. Done. CDC and really the FBI, I'm done. I have zero respect for any of these bureaucratic agencies. None at all whatsoever. I'm just biding my days until I'm banned on social media, and I'm just waiting to see how far this goes before people end up in the streets. We're at that point. I mean, they're wanting to monitor how much money you have in your bank account and watch every transaction that you undertake. You're banned and penalized on any internet forum if you so much ask a question about something that is a therapeutic that is being presented as a vaccine. And don't use the word vaccine to talk about something that doesn't actually transfer to you immunity. We're going to talk more about this. This isn't about following the science. This is about control. And like I said, the language of Dickey Amendment specifically states that a taxpayer entity cannot advocate for or against gun control. But anti-self-defense people are livid over this because they follow politics, not science, and they want to politicize research. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling kind of hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, inflation, the list goes on. There is something that you can do. You can buy from companies that believe what you believe and support your right to believe what you want to believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there has been one company that's willing to stand with you and has done so since 2012, and that's Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the other major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders as well. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get free activation with offer code Dana. Get special discounts for veterans and first responders, also multi-line accounts. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
The Stanford Review said Stanford students are more likely to wear masks on bicycles than helmets. Yes. Yes. No helmet, but they will wear masks. It was a survey, StanfordReview.org, that was published on September 22nd. And wow. It's a cult. It's a cult at this point. Additionally, people are, their jaws are on the ground over a number one bestseller on Amazon. It is a little weird looking little nativity set. And they're wearing masks. And the baby Jesus is wearing masks too. Jesus is under two in this. Just wanted to point that out. I don't know why he would need a mask. Just saying. And also he is, you know, the Lord. So pretty sure gonna be okay. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, FYI. Let's see. I got a couple. This is not about science at all. None of this has ever been about science. United Airlines is set to lay off around 600 employees who refuse to get vaccinated against the coronavirus. It's interesting that they're laying those off, but congressional staff, the legislative branch, congressional members, judicial branch, White House staff, CDC employees, FDA employees, USPS, NIAID, Pfizer and Moderna employees are all exempt. Interesting. I'm just pointing some things out. That's all. France is waking up. Emmanuel Macron is warning Europe about China. Finally, a little too late. But it looks like it's an indirect swipe at the U.S. and Australia and the U.K. But he had urged Europe to, quote, stop being naive and suggested that Paris is critically reviewing its traditional alliances and is ready to build up European defenses independent of others. He said, we have to be at the capacity to defend ourselves, not escalating things, but protecting ourselves. Interesting. We knew this already. No major incidents of illegal activity from the DHS. They told the Pentagon this during, this is all about January 6th. A communication from January 6th from a key DHS hub was emailed to senior army leaders, and it was discussing the unfolding, well, the riot that was taking place. They said no major incidents of illegal activity. Well, they were talking about people trespassing. That's not considered a major incident of illegal activity. So for the love, these people are trying to act, even though that numerous reports, even from agencies that they say that they love, discount this. They're still pushing this. The New York Post says Elon Musk says Biden is biased against Tesla and controlled by unions. The CEO of Tesla accused POTUS of bias against the electric car company and said the current administration appears to be controlled by unions. He's not wrong. Up next, Senator Marsha Blackburn joins us. We'll talk a lot to talk about with her. Stick with us. There's nothing better than slipping into bed with soft, comfortable sheets at the end of a long day. Now MyPillow wants you to sleep better with their Giza Dream Sheets. Made from the world's best cotton, grown in a small area of the Mediterranean, and made into a fabric that is ultra soft and breathable, the Giza Dream Sheets Sateen Weave gives them a luxurious finish that will have you sleeping like a dream. Available in a variety of colors and sizes, machine washable and durable, all Giza Dream Sheet sets come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. For a limited time, you can save 50% on all Giza Dream Sheets. Visit MyPillow.com, click the radio listener square, and use promo code Dana at checkout. Or call 800-944-4444. 4975 to get the Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $49.99. You'll also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Don't miss the sale of the year. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Dana, or call 800-944-4975. Sleep better with MyPillow.com.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
How do you look the men and women in the eye that have served under your command? How do you look young men in the eye that are coming to our military academy days and who want to serve and say, you can depend on me. I've got your back. Because you know what? I think a lot of these families right now, they don't feel like you have your back. The special ops guys I met with Friday in my office in Nashville that are taking their time, their money, and risking their lives to do a job that the three of you could not do. Maybe we're going to remember you three as the three that broke the military.
I tell you what, that was one of the line of questioning there with the Senate Armed Services Committee talking to General Mark Milley, and that was Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. That, I felt that all the way in Dallas when I was listening to that line of questioning. And she's absolutely right. She joins us now via Skype. Senator Marsha Blackburn, always a pleasure. And I have to tell you, that line of questioning right there, you touched on something that I've been talking with other parents. You know, some of our older children, we've been having this discussion. My 20-year-old son at one point had considered going into the military. And after this, I have to be honest, I'm glad he didn't, because I don't trust the people who are making decisions at the upper echelons of the military. I don't trust them with the lives of my kids. I know a ton of other parents, including retired special ops, like you were talking about, that feel the exact same way. So I have to say, I really appreciate your line of questioning just then, because you spoke to something that a lot of parents, and especially in parts of the country that hand over fist send more of their daughters and sons and husbands and wives and moms and dads to go and serve our country overseas and elsewhere. I mean, you really spoke what a lot of those people were thinking. So thank you for that. And what did you walk away with? What did you have anything answered from General Milley? Did you walk away satisfied with their answers?
No, I did not, because his response should have been, let me tell you how I've got their back. Let me tell you what my commitment is. But he didn't do that. He sat there and glared. And it is not what you expect from someone who is chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is somebody that has come through the ranks. They have moved up the ranks. They have reached every touchstone they're supposed to. And then they serve as chairman of the Joint Chiefs. So it means that the Secretary of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marine Commandant, you've got the Coast Guard, they all report to him. He, in turn, reports to the president. He is the president's principal military advisor. And then he helps to shape the mission and purpose and execution of that mission for the U.S. military. That is what you have generals and admirals, they're all reporting to him. And to hear him in his questioning with me, he had already admitted that instead of focusing on Afghanistan, he was off giving interviews to authors who were going to write negative books about President Donald Trump. But you know what? He was still in his office. He was still in his time of service as chairman of the Joint Chiefs, but he's out talking about the then president of the United States to authors, not to Congress, not to the Senate Armed Services Committee, not to the Intel Committee, to authors who are wanting to write these kiss and tell type books on President Donald Trump. So he comes in and then he won't tell us what advice he gave President Biden. But there again, he had been willing to talk to authors about Trump. It was just his misplaced priorities and his ego that just really got me, because I talked to men and women in uniform. I talked to vets. I talked to parents whose children want to go to military academies and be in service to this country. And they are so frustrated that they're hearing, well, you can't advance in the military unless you're woke. Well, you can't question why and where and how and what is the reason we're doing something. You just take your order and you move. And people are beginning to go, hey, wait a minute. I'm here to defend the Constitution and the country. And let's explain this. What are we trying to accomplish? You know, Dana, you hear a lot from people that are in the military that they execute to the mission that they're given. So let's be sure that they know that mission, and that mission is constitutional in that it provides for the common defense and protects this nation against enemies, foreign and domestic.
That's the way it should be. We're talking with Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn, who you all saw, and we played actually, there was more questioning that she had. We were playing that yesterday as well. Senator, we still don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, you all didn't learn who gave the order for the drone strike, nor did you learn what intelligence they were acting on to give that order, correct?
That is correct. We have still, there are two things that we, among others, but that stand out from the hearing. Two things. We do not know who ordered the drone strike, why, what the intel was, and the actual where they launched the strike from. We do know that it had to come over the horizon, and it was not intercepted or stopped. And, of course, you have a civilian and seven children that were killed. Likewise, they still were not able to answer a question that has come to them from Democrats and Republicans about how many Americans are still left over in Afghanistan, how many of our allies, how many of our SIV holders, applicants, and their families are there. Couldn't give us the number. And we know it's not 100, which is what they continue to say, because we've had some of the vet-sponsored flights by Task Force Pineapple and Nazarene and others that are bringing out 100, 175, 125. So, you know, they still continue to say, oh, about 100. Well, no, that's not right.
It's been 100
for a while.
They
can't give us a number.
Yeah.
So we're just like, okay, we need to get that number too.
Yeah, that's and it's so incredibly frustrating, because this is, and we're talking with Senator Marsha Blackburn, Senate, and there, and she's still waiting for these answers from these military leaders. One of the other things to change courses here, Senator, one of the other things that you've been at the forefront on is the fight with big tech and corporations who are acting as agents of the state to carry out state policy that they normally would not be able to do because it would be litigated to kingdom come. And one of the things that you've discussed quite a bit about Facebook had paused Instagram Kids prior to a hearing that you had called. Talk to us about
Right.
this, because it's a lot of people are wondering, is this really enough?
And bear in mind, Senator Blumenthal and I have worked on this now for about 3 years. I led the technology task force last Congress, and we did that through Judiciary Committee, and now we're doing this work through Commerce Committee. But yes, we have worked quite a while on looking at research we were getting from the CDC, from pediatricians, psychologists, teachers, parents, anecdotal information about the damage to children and their physical, emotional, mental health due to these big tech platforms. And then we had a whistleblower that came forward. And whistleblower has given some great information. It is research from 2019 and 2020 that Facebook did on itself that shows they know of this damage and shows that they are marketing to children under 13 years of age. They're going to children as young as 8, and they're allowing children under 13 to set up these Instagram accounts. So we had a hearing looking at children's online privacy, and we dealt totally with Facebook today. And we had a Facebook witness, a vice president at Facebook, a Ms. Davis. And interestingly enough, you'll love this. She was in a beautifully curated background, the right colors and books and everything blended and matched, and was very calm and in control looking. And we found out she was sitting in a conference room a few blocks from the Capitol, but she could not find it in herself to come to the Capitol and appear in front of us in person.
How interesting is that? For those people, it's very much theater, talking with Senator Marsha Blackburn. Yes. And the data mining too, and that's another thing that I think a lot of people, I think if they don't have kids, or if they haven't started their families yet, maybe that's not something that they necessarily think about. But when you have kids, and a lot of times, and really even with young kids, there's a lot of stuff that they actually do online as part of their class, as part of classroom things.
That's right.
And so you're still, you can monitor, because we always monitor my kids are not allowed on social media. They never have been. I said, when you can pay your own taxes, when you can pay your own phone bill, and you are completely self-sustaining, you can do what you want to, yeah. Just make good decisions, but not on my dime. But it's still, even then, it's incredibly difficult. You got to really be active and monitor it. I'm so glad That's we right. didn't have this when I was a kid. Oh, my word. But a senator, too, the data mining, and this is what I say, a lot of people with kids or without kids maybe don't think about this. They're collecting information on your children's behavior and selling it.
Yeah, they are building a profile of your child. Is what they're doing. I call it the virtual you. And so they're creating a replica, an online replica of your child. And then they can predict what you're going to go through to next because of artificial intelligence. And then they're sending those ads, those videos, that information into you before you have asked for it, because they are data mining and working through your search history, your information, your transactional life, and they go through that and then they serve it up for you. It is absolutely freaky scary what they're doing to our children.
Golly, 1984 was a prophecy, not just a book of fiction. My heavens. Senator Marsha Blackburn, we really appreciate all the, because you've been at the forefront of this for a number of years with big tech, and we really appreciate that you've had your eye on that.
Yeah, you know, Dana, and people can keep up with me online at Marsha Blackburn, or I go to my website. We've got a lot of this information. I know you have a lot of female viewers and listeners, and they'll find it at blackburn.senate.gov if they want to pull it down so they can use it to help protect their kids.
Oh, they will. I know that for sure. Senator, as always, appreciate your time. Thank you for what you do. Look forward to talking
with
you again soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.
For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness, and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Ah, so I don't know what I think about this. I kind of like it. It's kind of funny. Students, Florida students were arrested while protesting their Florida principal at their Florida school, Lakeland, Florida. Joan Martinez was one of the dozens of parents who came to pick their kids up early from Kathleen High School. Her son called after several students were arrested during a protest calling for the termination of the school's principal, Darriford Jones. The Polk County Sheriff's Office arrested 15 students. Disruption of school function, resisting an officer without violence, false name to a law enforcement officer. Somebody had a weapon. I don't know who it was, but they said it was mostly largely peaceful. It was organized by history teacher and football coach Tamaris Hill. He said Jones had taken away all the after school activities except for sports and allegedly locked school doors with students waiting outside. So they wanted homecoming. They wanted to be able to, you know, basically have, like they said, we have to ask permission to leave and go outside to enjoy our lunch, etc. So they said that when Jones became principal in April, the school spirit went downhill. They said that it sounds like a lockdown thing, right?
Yeah,
so I'm totally on the kid's side with this.
Yep.
If I was a parent, I'd have been out there too. And what of it? What's good? I'd have been right out there with them. Go kids. See, if my kid was like protesting and being, and I mean, because you have a right to protest and was protesting the lockdown that didn't follow the science of the principal. And if my kid was suspended, I would take them on a trip is what I would do. I would reward them for this. This stuff is silly. People are ridiculous. And some of this stuff, like they wouldn't even be letting the kids go outside. You got to be kidding me. Parents are having enough of this stuff. Kids are having enough too. When you get the kids mad, I mean, you know, that's something else. All right. So we have, let's see, I can't read that one. Nope. Ooh, there was a woman who was seen, pull this up, driving a convertible Mini Cooper hauling a full-size couch in Estero, Florida. People, I love this comment from Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Greg Bueno. It's a horrible idea. That's his quote. It's a horrible idea. The couch itself is bigger than the Mini Cooper.
Right.
And it is. It can't even fit in it. I don't even know how they're driving the car. But they ended up getting in trouble. They said that it wasn't properly strapped down. She's literally holding it with her arm. Oh my gosh. And she was on a busy interstate. Can you imagine if you were driving behind this thing? I wouldn't want to drive behind this thing and have a couch fly out of their Mini Cooper. Oh, a Florida woman sent fake threat text messages to get a restraining order on her date. Lake County, Florida, again. She wanted to get her date in trouble. Vanessa Restrepo. She was unhappy with the man she targeted. So now she has a number of charges against her. Man, don't be crazy. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
I think we've shown a lot of respect to our colleagues who obviously have a different point of view when it comes to reconciliation. There's been meaningful negotiation that's gone on for weeks. The president has been involved personally. I've never seen a president engage this way since Barack Obama's days with the Affordable Care Act. So we're all in, all aboard. Now it's time, I would say, for both senators, make your mark and close the deal. What is it that you want? What is your final goal?
I can't handle him anymore. I can't. You know who he kind of reminds me of? And first off, welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. It's good to be with you guys today. This Thursday, let's make fun of stuff this hour. We were really serious last hour. We're going to make some fun of stuff. So this might be kind of weird. And I'm going to tell you what they passed a stopgap, by the way, for the amateur. Dick Durbin reminds me of Piglet from Winnie the Pooh. I have to say, I don't know why. Every time I hear him, I just think of it and I can't. It's like how Dan Aykroyd thought of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and Ghostbusters. I just can't help it.
I always thought Harry Reid was like
Choose
Piglet.
Your Destructor. What?
I always thought Harry Reid was more like Piglet.
Probably. So, speaking of, I was going to say like pigs in terms of like hungry hogs and wasteful spending and all of that stuff. So, it looks like they passed a stopgap measure to keep the government open until December 3rd to avoid a shutdown. So it's a temporary stopgap. It's a temporary measure just to keep government running. And they had a vote on it, 65-35. So they approved this stopgap measure. Now, the House of Representatives has to vote on a bill before midnight tonight. That's what they're doing. That's the Senate bill that came in to make sure that things can. So they have a temporary stop gap. And so we're going to be dealing with this again. So it's basically, it's just a quick fix. If you want to know what it is, all you need to know is stopgap. It's a quick fix. So they said that they're going to vote on the stopgap funding measure to prevent this funding, 65 to 35. It's open. So now government, we're avoiding a shutdown. It would shut down midnight tonight. So it went from the Senate. The Senate kicked it to the House. The House voted. The House had made their decision on it. The Senate voted 65-35, open till December 3rd. I'm trying to look for more because I know that Manchin's probably going to be. Now, remember, you have reconciliation, you have the budget, right? So there's a couple of different issues at play here. And this, I mean, we're still going to be dealing with this. That's just all there is. I mean, that's all there is to it. So, dang, I really wanted a shutdown. I was really looking forward to just, you know, I was really looking forward to that. For now, anyway, no shutdown. I wonder if we're going to deal with something like this. Well, I mean, we're going to have this. It's going to be the same fight coming up in December. So till December 3rd, that's what we got. Okay, few things here. I'm going to go down the list because I want to make sure that we really get some of this stuff to you because I'm just like watching everything at play here and watching some of the stuff that's happening. We were talking about how YouTube, we discussed this a little bit yesterday. YouTube's apparently, so Ron Paul's account, his network, the Ron Paul network or whatever, his thing. Right. I mean, I don't really watch it. I like Rand Paul and I like Ron Paul's monetary policy. Apparently they got suspended. They were suspended off YouTube. He's a doctor. He's a legit, but you guys know that there's some YouTube lackey who knows way much more than an actual doctor. People are just asking questions, right? That's it. They're just asking questions. That's all they're doing. This is no longer about science. This is about control. You guys know that, right? This is not about science at all. That's what the new revolution is. They're trying to use these public health emergencies so that they can say, oh, we have to have more control over this, this, and this. Control over all these things. Listen to this. So in Hong Kong, in the past 24 hours, they've had a lot of stuff go down. They've had, and you've heard about how this once former British controlled territory, after they handed it back over to Beijing, the Hong Kong Free Press, their Twitter account, was getting into in one 24 hour period. They said these are just some of the developments that we had the capacity to write about. So in the past 24 hours in Hong Kong, insulting the Chinese flag online is criminalized. You get 3 years in jail. 10 democratically elected local representatives were ousted by the communist government. Tiananmen Massacre Museum website was censored in Hong Kong. Doxing has been criminalized. The penalty is 10 years in jail. Tiananmen Square Massacre vigil group funds and property were frozen by the Communist Party of China. New guidelines are stifling editorial independence at the Free Hong Kong Press and other, I mean, they can't even operate there, but they write about the issues affecting Hong Kong. Does that make sense? 15-year-old among minor detained, denied bail in security law case. Man faces security law trial solely for slogans and speeches. The government, the Chinese Communist Party's government, begins to wind up Apple Daily, the parent company. And lawmakers are now urging a legal review, lawmakers, i.e. the Communist Chinese Party, CCP lawmakers, to review target covert groups. Man, that's crazy. Jiminy. And then they fired two pro-democracy professors at Hong Kong's Lingnan University. They confirmed that today. Oh, there's a ton of stuff. They said now also the Hong Kong, the film industry is now going to be part of China's film industry. This was all the stuff that they've done in 24 hours. This is what I'm telling you. When they control everything. Now, what they used instead of a public health emergency, they were saying, oh, it's a public, it's a national, it's a security issue, public security issue. And under that excuse, the CCP exerted more will over Hong Kongers. Now, here in the United States, we're not as far progressed on the Marxist timeline, but these are absolutely statist Marxist elements, absolutely textbook. I mean, when you're when you look at some of this, at some of what's being done, the media, for instance, did you know? And this comes from the new, and I will say, I'll give credit to the New York Times here. The New York Times, they almost, it's almost like they have a psychiatric split. So they have a lot of progressives there who will write some really ridiculous stuff. But then they have some people who I wouldn't say necessarily, I don't demand fealty and ideology. All I want is intellectual curiosity, and you go where the facts lead. And the there's some at the New York Times, and I'll give credit to them. They published this. They published this list, and it shows that Florida is the 41st, one of the lowest ranked states in the nation for hospitalization rates. Now, what's even more interesting, if you get past the, it, which is a kind of a buried lead here, is that if you look at New York, their hospitalization rates and their transmission, because one of the, or not New York, Florida, because one of the things that Florida is very smart in doing is that they tell people, look, just a transmission does not mean a hospitalization. And they also include the cycle threshold score, the CT score. Remember how we talked about this right when that became news? The CT score is the determination as to, are you actually clinically contagious? Are you actually clinically positive? Because the higher the score, the more, the less likely you were actually to transmit it. And really, in some cases, you could not clinically be considered a positive case depending on a high CT score. And so they were one of the first, I think maybe still the only state that actually includes that. I don't think Texas does. And so that's they want to make sure that people have a full understanding of what is going on, because they, I mean, if the more informed you are, regardless of your political ideology, don't you think that you can better make a decision? I don't know why it is wrong to state that, why it's treated as wrong. And so the New York Times, they printed that. They also printed that when you compare Florida and California, California had all the masking, this draconian lockdowns, everything else. And guess what? Right now, Florida didn't. Their rates aren't that. I mean, California is a little worse off. Now, I think some of this has to do also with the weather and the temperatures. And this is one thing. And I sent this out. Oh, this is weeks ago. I sent it out in one of the prep where there was a doctor who worked with infectious diseases who was noting they were people are looking to see whether or not this kind of behaves the way that flu does. So, for instance, when it gets cooler outside in the south and people go outside and they're not indoors with the AC, you have less transmission of viruses, etc. Whereas in the north, when it gets colder and the heat's, I mean, it sounds basic, but it that actually does factor into this. So kudos to them for putting that out there. But that's been one of the biggest lies this week, that red states have the highest hospitalization rates, or that only the unvaccinated spread the virus, which isn't true. The vaccinated also spread it. Or the lie that, well, the vaccine itself prevents transmission. No, it's a lie. The people who are vaccinated can actually transmit it still. That's, I'm not quite sure where we're arguing against this.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
Yeah, that's Rochelle Walensky, CDC director, talking about the vaccines themselves. This isn't about science. If this is about science, then explain to me why in New York they're replacing the number of their nurses. I was looking for the exact number. Who don't get vaxxed, they're replacing them with National Guard members who, as I understand it, are exempt from the vaccine. I mean, you have postal workers who are exempt. So how is this based in science? Anyone want to try that? I mean, I was looking at the immunization exemption guidance. I was looking at all of these announcements, et cetera, et cetera. So this is ridiculous. And as Kane notes, it's the postal service that goes door to door. So I don't know. It's
also members of Congress are not.
Yeah, they're exempt. So are the legislative staff and all that stuff. Yep. It's all nuts. But my point is this. This is like a cult. This is the new revolution. Your language is policed. YouTube is suspending accounts. You have fake science where the CDC, who wants to issue guidance on this, can't even say the word pregnant women. They say people and chest feeding and all this nonsense. And this is about coalescing power. This is what this all is about. So coming up, a couple of things. Democrats blocked a bill to sanction any potential trillion dollar trade agreement between China and Taliban. We're going to talk a little bit about this because that to me is stunning. Additionally, I have more here. There's a couple of other things, including, where do I have this? Oh man, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. Do you know what he did today? He tweeted, on behalf of the United States of America, he tweeted out this link. I would like to congratulate the People's Republic of China as the country celebrates its National Day on October 1st. Congratulating communists. That's Anthony Blinken. That's our Secretary of State. We're going to talk about that and more. So you do not want to go anywhere.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
If you think the price of education is high in the United States, apparently it's way higher in England. This is it's the Education at a Glance report. They found that England has the highest university tuition fees in the world. The average annual tuition fee charged by public institutions at bachelor level, for instance, in England, it's well over $12,000. Well over $12,000. That's high. That's like Snoop Dogg high. That's crazy. Also, it's true. Additionally, General McKenzie, CENTCOM, admitted that ISIS-K facilitator was killed in the second U.S. drone strike, but it was not directly involved in the terrorist attack at Kabul airport. I feel like there was a lot of misinformation that originally came out from State Department surrogates there on that. Really, really, really do so. Sydney's unvaccinated warned of social isolation when lockdown ends. This is a Reuters story. Officials warn that the unvaccinated face, quote, difficult life indefinitely. Oh, my word. Sydney residents who are not vaccinated, they risk being barred from life, from social activities, even if they're freed from stay-at-home orders. That's according to the New South Wales State Premier Gladys Berejiklian. Under a roadmap to exit lockdown in Australia's biggest city, unvaccinated people are subject to delays in freedom.
Oh, boy.
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot is that. They said that, quote, life for the unvaccinated will be very difficult indefinitely. You know what is also difficult? My foot in your neck. That's also what's difficult. Hong Kong's BBC has been ordered to support Chinese national security, the Communist Party. The government is angry at the broadcaster's coverage of the 2019 protest in Hong Kong. Oh boy, I'm telling you, there goes that free press. We got a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
Do you think parents should be in charge of their child's education as the primary stakeholder?
I believe parents are important stakeholders, but I also believe
primary
educators have a role in determining educational programming.
And I think that's going to be a little out of focus, what I think you're going to find across all elements of education. Since they pay the bills, they raise the kids, they probably need to be the primary spokespeople for their own kids' good education.
Good grief. This is craziness. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. That's Biden's education secretary, who says parents shouldn't be the primary stakeholder in their kids' education. Moms, I'm going to need you to hold me back for a minute. Oh, my gosh. If I was wearing a flip-flop instead of my boots today, oh, my gosh. I'm going to tell you what, Cardona, when you get an episiotomy for passing a child's head that's in the 99th percentile, then you can come and sit here and tell me that I don't get to be able to talk about that kid's education and be the stakeholder in that kid's education. Have a frillion seats on this. Some men out there were like, oh, man, you did not have to go to that level. Oh, no, sometimes it needs to be said. This is why I cannot be in government. Can you imagine? I know I'm a troll. And I heartily and love and embrace it, right? But this is there's no way I'd be able. There's no way I'd be able to do that. I wouldn't be able to talk to these people. I just can't. Let me give you insight. My grandmother, God rest her soul, they called her Boots as her nickname because she was always, because it had more to do with her personality than her preference for footwear. And she kind of lived by this unofficial motto: the exact amount of courtesy with which I am treated is what I will give and is what I give back. Now, yes, it's not exactly the golden rule, but that's how she was. And I mean, it's really hard to get away from that when that's your granny. But I kind of feel that way sometimes. It's why I can never be in government. I can't pretend to get along with people. I can't pretend. I don't like lying like that, right? If I don't like you, I don't want to lie to you, and I don't want to be in the wrong. I just self be like, I don't like you. I don't feel like, you know, being courteous, so just get away. All right, so I'm only somewhat joking. I have a million things here. We got Australia. I have more audio with Australia. So this is the guy. He's like their health minister. He's the guy who was telling everybody when we played this 2 weeks ago, his original, like the earlier audio of him talking at a different time. He was saying that you have to wear your mask if you're on a footpath, even if you're in a pub having a pint, and basically saying that you have to absorb your drinks and food through osmosis. That's what's going to have to happen. I'm surprised, honestly, that they haven't come out and said, look, Australians, just sit by your items and then engage in osmosis and absorb your nutrients like that. Anyway, here he is talking about getting the double, triple, whatever vax and 6 feet of masks and what works and what doesn't. Listen to this.
I mean, yes, but as effective as the double vax is against you or me, if we're double vaxxed, becoming seriously ill, it does not prevent you from getting the virus, and it doesn't prevent you from spreading the virus.
Oh, so he's saying what Rochelle Walensky, the CDC, said. I made some people mad yesterday online and on air because I say, look, it's not a... Can we just be real? If it's a vaccine, what do vaccines do? You get immunity, right? Yeah. You don't get it again. I mean, you know, tell me about all the polio cases as I throw stuff around my studio. tell me about all the polio cases that we're having. Oh, wait, we don't have those. I don't dislike vaccines. I dislike people who make other people get stuff and think that they have the right to assume someone else's risk ratio. But if it's a vaccine, then you get immunity from it, right? Yeah, you get immunity. It means you're not, but then they're telling us, well, it only, you can still transmit the virus. That's the Australian health person. And then our own CDC's Rochelle Walensky has said this. Anthony Fauci has said this. Everybody else with more than one brain cell to rub together has acknowledged this. Okay, that's fine. I get it. But then how is that not a therapeutic? And then when you ask people that, they short circuit and go, but my Trump. And then that's all you hear. But my Trump. January 6th. My Trump. Russia. My Russia. Mueller's coming. He came and went. There's nothing. It's true, though. You know I'm right. So I bring this up because I just see these points made over and over and over and over again by people, or this argument that people try to bring up. That's not following the science. And that's one of these biggest lies with all of this. So if you're going to follow the science, then follow the science. And then that makes me wonder, well, why are they against other therapeutics that treat the severity of symptom, but yet this is kind of acting like a therapeutic? $1 million question, right? That's one of the biggest, this is some of the biggest lies that have just been pushed with all of this. Now, additionally, a couple of other things here that I have for you. I can't quote George Orwell enough lately. I really can't. Just can't. There is, I keep saying it's a cult because people are kind of acting cultish about this stuff. I shared with you that Stanford study, students that wouldn't wear bicycle helmets, but would wear masks. This guy, and I'm using it because he's got a significant number of followers. Apparently he's like a doctor, even though he's kind of ridiculous. But I see this. There are people who are proud about this sentiment. So this guy, he's a doctor. He tweeted, "My wife and I were just discussing via text what our household guest policy will be. We agreed that to enter our home, you must have 2 negative COVID tests in the last 24 hours, 1 PCR and 1 rapid antigen for reliability. I'd encourage you to discuss your COVID guest plans." Dude, I think I've met someone who's more of a freak about germophobia than me. Right. It finally happened. We all knew this day was going to come. We knew it was going to come. And here it is. Who would want to go into that house? I'd be afraid that there's a camera in the bathroom to watch you pee when you used it. Who would want to go to this guy's house, right? You know this guy's a freak too, don't you? You know he's a freak. He probably has like some crazy freak stuff in his basement. You know he does. He just sounds like it. He sounds like that guy. He probably has people stashed in his walls. I'm just saying. I'm just speculating. Who would want to go to this guy's house? I don't want to go to anybody's house who's that uptight and crazy. I don't. You have whatever freedom to be as weird and crazy as you want to be in your own home, but you don't bring that stuff out in the public and make us all like live our lives by it. You must have 2. This is endemic. Just say it. The virus is endemic. You're never going to eradicate it because it's a virus. I love the people who are like, we're going to end this. Let's follow the science. It's a virus. That's why you have so many different mutations of the flu and the cold. The cold's a coronavirus. That's why there's no cure for the common cold, because it is a coronavirus that has gone through a frillion mutations. There's no cure for a lot of things out there. You just have to adapt and live your life by it and not fearmonger people about something with a fatality ratio that is so overhyped and the severity, the hospitalization rate, so overhyped. I read this piece the other day that actually discussed how it was in the Atlantic of all places. The Atlantic. I'm not supposed to be reading things at the Atlantic and agreeing with it, right? It's not like they're not conservative. Wait, what? The Atlantic was saying that one of the problems with citing hospitalization numbers is that there were people who are hospitalized that only had like super mild symptoms, and that these numbers are being conflated, and as a result are inflating this hospitalization rate to make it look like people are dealing with more severe symptoms, more people are dealing with them than actually not. It was in the Atlantic. It was out this week. What? It's like when Slate ran a piece on Fauci and all these other bureaucrats, calling them noble lies. I tweeted that out, and of course I had some Fauci stan going, but my Trump, why does Trump has nothing to do with this? It's a cult. I just can't. Is it? Okay. How do you all deal with this stuff? I can't take this stuff seriously because it's everywhere now. It's everywhere now. I mean, it takes everything I have not to. I think people look at the expression on my face. Have you ever gone into a business or anywhere and it has, if you're vaccinated, then you can not wear a mask. And it's like an honor system. And I'm waiting for someone to ask me about the face panty. I'm waiting because I'm actually going to pull out a pair of underwear and put it on my head. I'm not even kidding you. We'll see where that goes. I may end up on the internet. I'm just waiting. But I think people look at me and they're like, she looks like a smartass. I am not going to say anything to her. And that just like, I'm not going to get near you. Don't worry. I hate people. I'm not going to get near anybody. I'm going to stay far away. and I don't like touching things, doorknobs and all that stuff. I can actually go through. I can go if it has a doorknob and I have my hands full, I can still open that door. That's how I am so skilled. If there was ever an opening the doors with your hands full and it's a doorknob with the stars or a dance or competition, reality competition, I would win that. Or Olympic feat, I would win that. I'd bring home the gold for our nation. But for real, how does this, it really is, we are in like a revolution. And we're in a revolution with people who want you to think that their pretend concern for your health justifies a power grab. They're so concerned for your health that they're going to emotionally shame you and try to make you unable to earn a living and actually live. Because for your health, they're so concerned, right? These are the people who are so concerned for your health that just 2 years ago, they were totally fine with having you get the hell beat out of you for wearing a red hat for your health, right? These are the people who are so concerned. If they see you eating a kebab out in the street like in Australia, they will send their biggest and best meal team six to jump on you and beat you up over the head and knock you unconscious for your health, right? They are certain about that. This is all theater. It's all a joke. And I'm going to tell you what, you better get ready to speak out more than you are now about this. Because you can either choose how to make yourself uncomfortable and stand up and resist, or at that time is chosen for you, in which case it's not going to be to your advantage. You got to make that decision. You can't outsource. I got so mad this morning. I was talking to a friend. I said this earlier. They moved to Tennessee and they were like, it was weird because, you know, these, you know, sitting around with these people and they were Republicans, but they really didn't want to do anything. They wanted to go, you know, play golf, and they wanted to go to their, you know, these folks. They were in a wealthy part of the state and they wanted to go to their country club and they wanted to do all this stuff. It's like, get off your duff and quit being welfare activists. Quit outsourcing your activism to everybody else. It's always, notice in your town, it's always the same group of people that do all the heavy lifting. And everyone else warms their hands by the fire of these people's work. Shame on you. I don't want to hear I don't have the time. I am not going to hear it. I met at one event, I met a single mother with five kids. The woman works a part-time job on the weekend and a full-time job through the week. And that woman shows up at school board events. That woman shows up and she speaks out. I was like, now that I met you, no one else ever has an excuse in their ever loving lives. Nobody. Everybody needs to get involved. We're at that point. So, this is the new revolution. And it's amazing to see a lot of these people, like Russell Brand was speaking out about this stuff. Dude, you know how weird it is for me to feel like I got common ground with Russell Brand? What is happening? This is how crazy it's getting. People that have brain cells are going, wait a minute, something's off. And they're all speaking up about it, right? Never ever thought I'd be like, yeah, Nicki Minaj is right. I cannot ever in my ever loving life. Here I am, right? Or finding solidarity with Rihanna on Think Before It's Illegal. That's where we're at now. And the difference between the people who are confident in their own ability to rule themselves and the people who are too insecure to rule themselves and want a government to do it is becoming just quite stark.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
That's where I was getting ready to say, like, the thing, my name again, danalash.com. Go there and sign up. All kinds of good stuff. I got a big fatty fat email coming out to you tonight about the Dickey Amendment and all of that stuff. So if you want to get super in the weeds with it, that gets super in the weeds. So if you like that stuff, if you want the dork dive, I'm not even going to say the deep dive anymore. If you want the dork dive, that's what, then you need to make sure that you sign up for that. Always good, all good stuff. I think a couple of things. So the government shut down. They passed the stopgap. So it's going to be kicked over till December 3rd. Whoop-de-doop, we got that. And we have new subpoenas that were issued in the probe of the FBI Russia investigation, including to the Clinton campaign law firm. So this is new out just now. I'll break that down. I'll include this link in your prep email, and I'll break it down for you tomorrow. Kane, today in stupidity.
It was going to be Blumenthal being schooled on how Finsta's fake on Facebook.
Yeah.
cracked me up because he's so stupid. But actually, Biden's education secretary, Cardona, says parents shouldn't be the primary stakeholder in their education. Listen to this.
Do you think parents should be in charge of their child's education as the primary stakeholder?
I believe parents are important stakeholders, but I also believe educators have a role in determining educational programming.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, that is stupid. That's, you know what? When you have an episiotomy, then you can come and talk, Cardona, about not being able to control your child's education. Back with you tomorrow.